Hello, Blog ladies Talk and Radio.
The artist Mom. My guest tonight is Sarah Key, author of On Your Own Stupidity. A little bit about my guest. Sarah Key Stevens, self-published author of On Your Stupidity, is a product of a single-family parent household consisting of a very strict mom. Her father did not want her to have anything to do with her, and she was a troubled kid. At age 10, she was hit by a car. Her mother wanted to protect her, and she allowed her to be raised later by an amazing grandmother. When Sid grew older, she pursued her master's degree, established her faith, found love, and had two children. Sadly, she lost her son to Sid, sudden infant death syndrome. After his death, she had to work harder on her marriage, and she says that she was blessed to have a beautiful daughter, and she had gotten older, and she wanted to achieve more attainable goals for her by establishing her faith and serving her community. Most of all, Sid wanted to show her daughter that although she was mommy, she can be pretty amazing, too. So welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the show. The number to call in is 646-200-3817. Join me and my guest, my co-host, Anna Marie Holliday, and we venture into the journey with Sid Aki Stevens.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for tuning in to the show tonight. This is The Artist Loft, and this is your radio host, Gigi Adams Evans, and I'm waiting on a connection with my guest, Sid Aki Stevens. You can find her book on Amazon.com, On Your Own Stupidity. And while we wait, I'd like to go ahead and play another song for you, for your enjoyment, as we wait in preparation for this young lady to come on, and we'll go from there. Thank you for tuning in, and have a wonderful, wonderful day. Thank you. Gentlemen, thank you for being patient with the radio show tonight. My guest has not come into connection with me yet, so I'm going to go ahead and talk a little bit about SIDS, the sudden infant death syndrome. You know, babies between the ages of 1 and 4 months old are most at risk for sudden infant death syndrome, better known as SIDS. And 90% of cases occur in babies under the age of six months old to be exact. By definition, SIDS doesn't happen after a child's first birthday. What can you do to stop worrying about SIDS as a mother? Because nothing is really guaranteed in life, nothing is promised. And sometimes these things happen, but babies between, sadly they happen, but babies between, as I said, 1 and 4 months old are most at risk for sudden infant death syndrome. The number of infant deaths from SIDS has declined by more than half since 1992. That's when the American Academy of Pediatrics, the AAP, recommended putting babies to sleep on their back. But SIDS is still the leading cause of death for babies between the ages of 1 and 12 months. Even though there is no sure way to prevent SIDS, you can take steps to reduce your baby's risk. And some of those risks are very simplest in form, and you can learn how to make sure that your child is very well protected, and making sure that the beds that they're sleeping in, make sure that they're laying on their backs, and make sure that you swaddle your baby. Now, a lot of ladies don't like to swaddle their babies because they feel like it's impending and the child can't move from one spot to another. But we're going to go into detail a little bit about what causes SIDS. Researchers have learned a great deal about SIDS in the past 4 decades, but they still have no definite answer as to what that question is. So, most experts do believe that SIDS occurs when a baby has an underlying vulnerability, such as immature or abnormal functioning of the heart, breathing, or arousal, and exposed to certain stressors such as sleeping tummy down or, you know, on soft bedding, because most babies can suffocate that way. And it's nothing that we would blame the mother for. In most cases, so many women blame themselves for their child having, you know, succumbed to SIDS, but it's really, again, not really anything that they can really do about it at this particular time. There are new ways of discoveries, and scientists and doctors are trying to find those ways to help babies to survive, you know, especially at the crucial months that I just discussed with you a moment ago, from 1 to 12 years old, 12 months old. It's a very alarming situation to find your child not in this world with you anymore, and I have to say that in a way that I'm not trying to say it in a cruel way, but it's very heartbreaking when you find your child not there with you anymore because of the sudden death syndrome. Now, again, I said that most experts believe that SIDS occurs when a baby has an underlying vulnerability, such as immature or abnormal functioning of the heart, breathing, or arousal, and is exposed to certain stressors, such as sleeping tummy down on soft bedding. A study published in February of 2010, and I'm quoting from an article that I'm reading about that I did some research on. A study published in February of 2010 in the Journal of the American Medical Association suggested another possible vulnerability. The researchers found that infants who died from SIDS had lower than the normal levels of serotonin in the brainstem. What is serotonin, you ask? Serotonin helps regulate breathing, heart rate, and blood pressure during sleep. Experts are continuing to study the brain, the autonomic nervous system, infant care, and sleep environment, infection and immunity, and also genetics in the search for better answers. One woman asked in an interview just recently, with an interview that I was having on another radio show, are certain babies higher for risk for SIDS? Well, the answer to that is that there is no one cause of SIDS. Several risk factors have been identified, and they really include preterm birth or very low birth rate. The earlier a baby is born, the higher his or her risk of SIDS. Likewise, the lower his or her birth rate is, the higher the risk. Being born to a mother under the age of 20, teen moms are more likely than moms over 20 to have a child die of SIDS. Low birth weight again, we were just expressing that a moment ago. And then having a lot of siblings, especially if they are close in age. The risk of SIDS increases with each baby you have. So therefore, the shorter the time between a woman's pregnancies, the higher her baby's risk of SIDS increases. Being a twin doubles the risk of SIDS. I had a twin, but my twin didn't die of SIDS. It was prematurely, it was announced prematurely dead already. But the shorter the time between a woman's pregnancy, the higher her baby's risk of SIDS grows. Being a twin doubles the risk of SIDS, even if the babies were preterm or very low birth weight. Being a sibling of SIDS also increases the risk of SIDS fivefold. Can you imagine that? Fivefold. That's pretty deep, don't you think? And something to really, really worry about in that factor, especially when you're a new mom or a not-so-new mom coming home with a baby and worrying about the SIDS syndrome yourself. And most people place their babies in a different room, in a different area, away from their bedroom. And there's a lot of reasons for that, for giving the baby its privacy as far as nourish level and making sure that the child gets accustomed to sleeping in the bed by him or herself. But babies who have suffered what's called an apparent life-threatening event actually start breathing and turn pale blue, as a matter of fact, and limp and require resuscitation. Now, my great-grandson, who is now 3 years old, had to wear a heart monitor because his heart stopped. And luckily, we were able to assess his condition, to bring him back with CPR, get him to emergency room as soon as possible because his lips were turning blue and he had stopped breathing. This wasn't a case of SIDS, but it's a very life-threatening event. And he had to wear, actually, a heart monitor for about 3 months. He was monitored for 3 months for his breathing would, just stop automatically. So when his mom was at work, I would make sure, or either his grandmother, because I'm his great-grandmother, my daughter would make sure that he was okay and he was breathing well and he was well monitored for that particular episode. One moment, ladies and gentlemen, I do believe that this is my call. Hello, Miss Stevens.
Hi, Gigi.
Hi,
how are you?
I'm great. I'm waiting on you to come on the live broadcast. I've just been talking about SIDS and looking forward for you to be here on the show with me live.
Oh, so this is not my interview, right? You just want me to call in?
No, this is your interview. You received.
I thought I was booked for April 17th.
No,
that's what I have.
No. You have an updated interview.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that. So, what are we talking about? I'll join in.
I was talking about actually the sudden death in syndrome, and talking about my grandson, whose heart had stopped breathing. He didn't, he didn't experience the SIDS death syndrome there, but it's very important that people really know and they really want to hear from you, so I'm waiting on you to call into the show. And,
okay. What time are we here?
You can call
8 o'clock.
Right now. No, we're on live now, and I've been waiting for you for ever since 7 o'clock. So,
I just got the message. I'm so sorry. I was not aware of that. So I'm calling right now.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
All right.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was a live interview with my guest, Miss Sid Aki Stevens. And very important, ladies and gentlemen, for you to check your emails when you have, especially when you're going to be a radio guest, and you can make sure that you check your emails simultaneously because you're being given updates by the radio broadcaster, which is myself or one of my co-hosts. And we really depend on that time to make sure that everybody's situated and well rounded so for the interview. So we're here. How are you doing, Sid?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm great. I was just expressing to my audience about suffering an apparent life-threatening condition. It's called ALTE, about babies who have suffered what's called an apparent life-threatening event. We were just finished talking about SIDS, and we're going to go back to your book, Author of Your Own Stupidity, in just a moment. And I'd like to just finish up my briefing here to the audience about the certain ethnic backgrounds that SID rates are highest for American Indians and Alaska Natives, closely followed by non-Hispanic blacks. And the rate of SIDs among African Americans, American Indians, and Alaska Natives are more than double that of Caucasian infants. Research has shown that these higher rates are related to infant care practices, such as a preference for bed sharing or placing infants on their stomachs to sleep. Now, Sid, you lost a child in the SID episode, and we'd like to talk to you about that. I have gone over your bio, and knowing that you were part of a single-parent household consisting of a very strict mom, how did your life evolved after you became an adult, after you went and pursued your master's degree and you got married? At what point in time, how old was your son? Because it happens between 1 and 12 months, I believe, or 1 and 3 months old.
My son is 4 months, and I didn't pursue my master's at that particular time, so I was just growing into my womanhood and trying to get my life together, and I had my child, and I was just so happy to have a different stage in my life because I was married for 8 years without having any children. So this was a new experience for me, and I was just trying to get things in order so that my children could be proud of me.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I'm sure that your children, your daughter that you mentioned in your bio, and your children, how many children do you have?
Well, I have two. I had two children. I had a son, and that was the one I lost to SID. And then about a year later, I had my daughter.
Okay. So God kind of like rewarded you with another child, which is it'll take you to another level of motherhood again. But that having a child that succumbs to SIDS is not an easy thing, and you never really get over it because I think I was talking to you earlier in the months and weeks ahead before this radio interview. I had a daughter that passed away, you know, with the same syndrome. But in her autopsy, it showed that she had pneumonia. So she was a premature baby. She came home, but she didn't survive after 6 months of being in the hospital. And she succumbed to the pneumonia that took her away. And, of course, they said there was a possibility that SIDS had something to do with that. But in your trials and tribulations, how did you prepare yourself after the loss of your child? What exactly did you do? And was it at this time when you wrote your book, Own Your Own Stupidity?
Well, my son died 15 years ago. So this is something that you never get over. And what I did was couldn't do too much because I was in a state of emergency. We just right afterwards had 9/11, and the world was in a state of shock.
Yes.
And for me, I could not really address those issues because I had lost my son just a few weeks before. So when I was working, we were working 12-hour shifts here in New York and just constantly trying to pick up the pieces. And then shortly afterwards, I got pregnant. So I needed time to heal, but I could not address my concerns right away because that would put me at high risk of my pregnancy with my daughter. So what I did is I went to counseling, and that was an outlet for me. And I tried different techniques. My husband and I, we both went to group counseling for SIDS, and then we also went and I did individual counseling for myself. The group counseling worked for my husband. He felt more better doing that. But for me, a one-on-one counseling benefited me. And I had that individual attention, and I was happy to meet someone who could address my needs.
So it's still, basically, still today, you're still in therapy, so to speak, because of that loss. And as you say, you never really, and you really don't ever get over it, because as a mother myself, I do understand, you know, the heartache that you've gone through and what you're still going through, even though your son has been away, you know, from the world for the period of time that you say he's been gone. But the memory is still there, you know, and for that is a very shocking and scary thing for mothers, because sometimes you can really wake up and have those nightmares, you know, that would cause you to have an unrest in your sleep. So with having said that, is owning your own stupidity about the SIDS, the sudden death syndrome?
It's a part of it. It's not completely all about that experience. My book is really about forgiveness from a human standpoint. And what happened is many people had offended me. And even during the time that I experienced my loss, I had to forgive people for not having compassion. So I share how you could always go through things with people, and people like our grandparents would say, turn the other cheek, it's going to be okay. But I'm letting people know that it's not okay when someone offends you on purpose. And how do you address the people who are intentionally be offending you? Do you just sit there and say, I'm going to be a better person? Or do you change how you interact with these people? And the book is about change.
Yes, I've read most of your book, and I wanted you to come out to really to talk about it and bring it into the ear of our audience tonight, and let's talk about, you know, the SIDS incident and have people more aware of it. But is there anything that you'd like to say to the young mothers out there as far as having already gone through the same as you have, losing a child through SIDS?
Well, what I would like to say to them is, well, first of all, they're not alone. And it's good to, when they are ready, to tell people about their experiences. They're, as I started speaking, and I just started sharing my feelings recently, I found more victims and more people that were open to talk about it. We have to make SIDS more aware to the communities and throughout the country. And you'll find that you're not alone. And in my case, my son was healthy. He was 8 pounds, 15 ounces at birth. And he was a healthy baby. And it still happened. And all the things that he went through, as far as the medical exam, checking to see if we did anything, we followed everything what the doctor said, and still we lost him. So you have to learn to live with the fact that you are a good mother, and we just do things, and unfortunate things happen, and it's not our fault.
Exactly, because, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Artist Loft, and my guest tonight is Miss Sid Aki Stevens, a mother who lost her child to SIDS, also an author, Owning Your Own Stupidity. You can find that book on Amazon.com, and you need to read it. It's a very enlightening book, a very empowered book, with giving you a very good way to reassess yourself in your spiritual energies, and learning how to move about in life the best way that you can is the best way that I can describe it, because it's a fantastic book. And we're gonna take a brief commercial, and we'll be right back. I'm going to go ahead and read an advertisement for an upcoming play that is going to be with Ihodaro Productions. Ihodaro Productions presents the stage play Ihodaro, Woman of God, at the Porter Sanford Performing Arts Center, 3181 Rainbow Drive, Decatur, Georgia, 30034, June the 18th, 2017, at 4 p.m. Ihodaro, Woman of God, developed by playwrights directors Gigi Adams Evans and Marilyn Evans, is a non-gospel stage play based on the biblical days, exceeding the strengths of women who asserted themselves from biblical to modern times. It portrays the beautiful jewels and colors of the 12 gates in the Bible. Ihodaro, Woman of God, is a delightful, lively stage play with music that will take you on a journey back in time and reveal 12 assertive women who represent the 12 gates, as I said earlier, of the Bible, and a spectacular performance of their characters in dual roles. Ihodaro, Woman of God, is uniquely developed with the creative, talented minds of myself and my co-producer, director Marilyn Evans. And this story weaves you into a story of 12 women, as I said, and they go from modern times to biblical times. You'll be surprised with the added twist as the actors reveal the stories through song, dance, and monologues. It is an awesome performance, a fantastic performance, who play dual roles. Purchase your ticket online on Sunday at Eventbrite.com. General admission is $25. Now, we are seeking vendors who will sell their items. This is for the Georgia area only. And we're celebrating men on Father's Day as well. So you can contact Marilyn Evans for setup information, or myself, Gigi Adams Evans, at Ihodaro. That's Ihodaro Productions, all together one word, ihodaroproductions@gmail.com. Now, I would like to go ahead and continue my interview. We have an hour worth of interview talk time, and I was missing my guest, so finally I got in tune with her and got in touch with her. We're here now. I don't want to waste any precious moments. Now, Sid, you know, with you saying that you have to be pretty much you know, hidden from society in a way that, you know, you have to really protect yourself from certain things. And I, you can tell me if it's too sensitive, but the question I'm going to ask you is that were you ever accused of doing something to your baby when you know that you didn't? Because that's a lot of feedback that a lot of people do, especially when something happens to a child. Were you ever a victim of that?
Yes, I was. My husband was questioned by the police because when he died, I was at work, so I wasn't questioned. So my problem was making my family and close friends aware of what happened. They judged my husband, and they accused him of many horrible things. And it wasn't until we got the report from the medical examiner that people respect that this what took place. But because people are not aware of SIDS, we had a lot of negative reactions from people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a bit to swallow. I knew my husband loved our son, and he wasn't going to do anything to him. I knew the babysitter loved our son, and she didn't do anything. But it's just I had to process everything. And I had many people coming to me in unpleasant ways.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them still are looking at me in a negative sense. And I had to let that go. I had to take including family, out of my circle that gave that negative vibe. Did nothing wrong.
Yes, yes. And so many people point the finger before they even understand the reason, and that's judgmental and very detrimental to a person's character, especially when this particular subject that's so sensitive comes up, you know, in the eye of the family. And it's not fair to the people, the parents that are suffering the most because of the loss. So I'd like to ask you, Sid, why did you feel it was so important to talk about this? What point are you trying to get out to the world and to people who have a lack of knowledge?
Well, it's important to me. First of all, the book was a journal. Wasn't supposed to be a book. And
mm-hmm.
those were my inner thoughts. But then I envisioned me having a conversation, the younger generation. I pictured myself talking to my daughter. And I wanted to help people. So I had to put my feelings aside and think about what was the purpose of me converting this from a journal to a book. I want people to be aware of the issues. So the book is telling my testimony, but also I'm hoping to encourage people.
Exactly. And you want to give out the name of the website where your book can be located?
The book is called On Your Stupidity by Sids Ikai Stevens. That's Sids, and the middle name is A-H-K-Y Stevens. You can find it on my personal website, On Your Stupidity, and also Amazon and BarnesandNobles.com. And
mm-hmm.
my publishing company is Regis. .com, as well as Walmart and eBay. Just Google the name On Your Stupidity and the different websites will pop up.
Okay. And ladies and gentlemen, you heard her. And I hope that you'll be able to go and is your book also downloadable in ebook format? it?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
For those that are avid readers on their devices, you can also download that into your electric e-books or your cell phones or your electronic reader that you have on your devices for easier reading. And I encourage you to go and pick up a copy because I really appreciate the copy sent, and it's a very well-written book. You really share a lot of your innermost thoughts in the book, and it's very well-written. And I have to say that I believe that each parent should at least get a copy of the book and give it out as a gift, you know, for the holidays that are coming up, especially to the young people in the family that are getting married and looking forward to a family. Be aware, have some kind of incentive, and have a balance in your life that you'll be able to understand the total information about SIDS. And I'd also like to say, you know, with SIDS, so many new mothers, they don't realize that, you know, having blankets or pillows in the bed for a newborn baby is any harm. And it really, that doesn't in itself cause SIDS, but your baby could also smother, you know, because of the sudden change in the way the baby is sleeping, or the baby could roll over, or a pillow could fall over on the child and smother the child in its sleep. So, recommended for infants are the one-footed pajamas or a cotton one-piece under a wearable blanket or a sleep sack. And it's kind of like swaddling your baby in a way that it protects him or her. And there are so many prevention groups out there that you can go and you can call in for support information. You can also talk to people that have already gone through this sort of horrific time in their lives by the loss of a child. So most importantly, as Sid has said, don't let your baby, you know, sleep for extended periods in a car seat. This is the SIDS community talking. And, you know, don't leave them in a swing, bouncy seat, or infant carrier, or sling, because all of these things can contribute to the SIDS syndrome. So without further ado, I'd like to ask you, Sid, with finding your faith and finding love with your two children, how is your life right now today? How is it? Have you really reached some certain goals in your life that you wanted to do, despite your sadness and your loss?
Well, my life has changed. I went back to school, pursued my master's degree, and I try to be the best mother I can be to my daughter. I have my ups and downs as anybody else. No relationships are perfect, but we maintain it. And I just want to try my best to keep growing as a person and always looking to improve.
Exactly. Have you ever
felt... And I'm proud to say that a book has been picked up for a short film as well. So On the Stupidity is going to be a short film at the end of the year. So every time I'm doing new things, I'm hoping to just make people aware of the concerns that I had in the book. And I'm proud.
Well, that's great. What production company, if you can say that on the air, what production company is picking you up? And how did you come about landing your book for a movie, a short film?
Well, it's We Connected Productions, LLC. They're twins, Rhonda and Cherie Washington in Columbia, South Carolina. And the production would not be about SIDS. It covers the other issue in the book of being a fatherless daughter. So the movie is going to be talking about that issue. But without having my father around, those were some of the things that I had to work on with forgiving people. Because when a tragedy happened, I needed that support. And I had to build for my community because I didn't get the support always from my family.
Exactly. And congratulations on that again. And you said that Reconnect LLC, ladies and gentlemen, and I'd like for you to stay on the watch out for that. And Sid, please keep me informed and I can go ahead and put out an advertisement for it when it comes.
Thank you.
When it's finished, you're quite welcome. When it's finished, so I can let other people be aware of your movie coming out and going from there. And that's a wonderful, wonderful contribution, you know, to society because everybody has ups and downs in their lives. And I wanted to talk to you, if it's not too sensitive for you, about your childhood and what were some of the problems, if you would like to discuss. Why was your father not really wanting to have anything to do with you?
My father and mother, they just did not work out in their relationship. He went ahead and got married the same year that I was born. So he went off and made a family for himself, and I wasn't included in that family. We moved away, and I was on a search to look for him, having all these high expectations, and turns out that I had some disappointment. So I had to own it and understand that just because he was my biological father, that doesn't mean that we was going to have a connection. And
right.
That's what I talked about in the book. Family does not necessarily mean that you're going to be connected to the person. And as I grew up with hoping to build that relationship with him, I had to realize that I had my community. I had other men who stepped up and helped me to be the woman that I am today. So that's my message to the younger generation. If you don't get it from somewhere, that's your relative. But there's other people that's stepping up, it's okay. And I have to come to grips with that.
Exactly. And I still hear, you know, from just your voice, there seems to be still some degree of sadness and hurt in the expression of your the voice that I hear, because you know it's one thing to be rejected and live it. It's another thing to continuously have that same memory and it tears you down every day, day by day. And as with you and your situation, there are so many other men and women out there who actually almost in their 70s and 80s, I found out, said that they're looking for their parents, the parents that, you know, threw them away, parents that didn't want to have anything to do with them at all, parents who created a new family that shunned away from their biological child. So I cannot imagine the pain and the suffering that you're going through. But one thing that I can do is commend you on this wonderful book that you've written. Now it's going to become a movie. And you as a person, as a friend that I've attained in my friendship line, that is such an earth angel. You're a wonderful earth angel. And you are you have my prayers with you. You have all the blessings that God can bestow upon you for you to continue to move forward in your quest for success. And I'm sure right now your daughters, your children are very proud of you, because I've never met you, but I'm very proud of you myself. And
thank you.
You're quite welcome. You're quite welcome, because success is not given. people need to understand that success is really earned, and it's earned through hard work and tears and heartache and pain and everything that you can think of to try to move ahead and to get a jump on your life, even though, as with you said, I lost my baby at 6 months old. I have two adult children, and I've got six grandkids, but I still miss my baby girl, you know, and she's been gone ever since 1973. But, I'm sorry, 1967. And you never get over it. You never get over it. And you go, I've gone to counseling to try to get it out of my mind, you know, in my younger years. But now I've kind of come to grips with it because you know that the inevitability of death is always there because we're all going to step through that door. But the process of you being the mother for the little time that you had has to have some warrant or, you know, meaning in life because that was your son. You loved your son, and you took care of him. And for people to actually come down upon you and to accuse you and to hurt you and to damn you, I mean, that's really terrible because, as the Bible says, judge ye not, because they don't understand what you go through and what you've been through, you know. Neither your husband, they don't understand what he's gone through, I'm sure. So, ladies and gentlemen out there, when you start pointing fingers at people, look in the mirror. No, actually look at your hand. And how many fingers are pointing back at you? Can you actually look in the mirror at yourself and see and say to yourself, that I'm perfect? I don't think so. Nobody's perfect. And nobody causes demise in their lives, especially the ones that love their children. And I do know that Sid loves her children and her son she lost. So remember, before you point that finger at someone, think about it for a second, because Sid's is not an easy thing to swallow. It never will be. And it's happening even today as we speak right now. So, Sid, I'd like to go into another chapter of the book as you grew older. What happened with your life as you grew older in the chapters in your life, you know, about on your own stupidity? You were talking about your father leaving you and deserting you. And what happened after that? How did you make it through life? I know you talked about your grandmother. Yes.
I had a struggle looking for him, but I came through. And I was thankful. I had my grandmother, who I refer to as the Ace of Spades in my book. And I built a better relationship with my mom because I always wondered why there wasn't a gap in our relationship. I have to take part of the blame for that because I was trying to look for my father, hoping that that would make me whole. And along the way, I had a mother who loved me, and I didn't appreciate her. So as my life went on, I understood that there were people that loved me. I take the good with the bad. Like how they say in fences, you take the crooked with the straight. So I wanted to start changing and evolving into a better person. And I had proper examples around me. And I'm so thankful for all my friends and family who helped me through the process.
That is awesome. And I really, again, commend you on being a fantastic person, a person that has stood above the chaos. And actually, you're at a height where you can actually move forward and keep soaring, Sid, because, I mean, look how far you've come this far. And look what you're doing now, you know, and all these things that happened in your life, the cruelness in your life, and losing your grandmother who took care of you, and losing your child, and then having to work on your marriage, and then trying to have to achieve more attainable goals in your life as you establish your faith, and you kept moving on.
And I lost a brother, too. I had constant losses. But
yeah,
I'm just thankful. I really am. Sometimes people are in your life for a short period of time, but it's what
mm-hmm.
they do with that time. Time that I had with him is true and close to my heart.
Right, right. That's very important because, you lose someone and then your life changes, you know, and then the sadness comes about you. And then one day, eventually, you're going to have to realize that person is not coming back and you've got to move on in the world of the living. But that doesn't mean that you have to stop caring. And you have to just keep moving until that time is up. But we're running out of time. We've got about 2 minutes left. And I'd like for you at this time, Sid, if you have shout-outs you'd like to give out to people that may be listening in to the radio show that don't mean you any harm, but to wish you all the success in the world, you can shout it out to your family or anyone that you'd like to in this particular.
I just would like to shout out to my husband and my daughter. It starts with the family, and that's my family. And, of course, my mom. So
mm-hmm.
I want to thank everyone for all the love and the support coming out to the book readings and just helping me behind the scenes. Anyone that has helped, I appreciate
mm-hmm.
you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sid. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Artist Loft. This is your radio host, Gigi Adams-Evans, and I do have two other co-hosts, Anna Marie Holliday, who is not here tonight, not present, and PJ Evangelist, PJ Sampson, who is on another mission at this particular time. And we do have about 10 seconds left, and I'd like to give shout-outs to all of those in my family and who are very supportive of the radio shows that I broadcast and all the wonderful things that I do. And this is by my own free will because I love helping people, and I meet people every day. All the times that I have the radio show, I've been doing this for like 2.5 years now, or maybe a little longer than that.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much, too. And I want you to come back, Sid, and we can do an update later on in the year once you get, information about your movie or whenever you want to come back as a guest. If you've got something more to talk about, we can do that as well. But I'm supporting you. I'm lifting you up in prayer, and I'm asking that you be blessed and you have a wonderful evening. And it was a little bit of a scare there for me, and I had to play a lot of music before you came in onto the show because I'm like, well, I know that I sent the link to her, so I'm waiting, and I got a little panicky. I really did for the first time in a long time, but now that you're here and you're about to go, we're 8:01 in the hour of the 8 o'clock shutdown for The Artist Loft. But Sid, you have a wonderful evening, and thank you for connecting to
thank
The
you.
Artist Loft. Thank you very much, and you be blessed.
Thank you. You have a good
thank
night, and thanks for your support.
Thank you, Sid, and you do the same. Good night, everyone. You've been listening to The Artist Loft, and again, this is Gigi Adams-Evans, your radio host, and of course, I have other radio shows that I would like to throw in right quick and a little overtime for a second. My Wise Mind radio show with philosopher John Stennis T. Lange Jr. is in a hiatus state right now due to the health of Mr. Lange. I also have a horror movie review show that myself and Arlene Brown TV, or the Arlene Brown Mitchell TV Media Network, we host that show on Saturday nights on NGRA Radio, broadcast from New York City. And also, The Artist Loft, which we're on right now at this particular time. I'd like to give shout-outs to my friends in music, Mr. Franz Eights and Mr. Kenny Fuller. Franz is of the Metal to Music Record Industry. He's a music promoter, also with Erectness.com and Lust Covenant Records. And Mr. Kenny Fuller is with Sideblock Generals. He's also a music promoter and handling his artists in a very wonderful way. The both of them are. So if you ever like, if you like hip-hop and you'd like to get in there and listen to some hip-hop, you can go to the to Franz's website, and it's called Franz Delicious and More. That's FranzLiscious and More. So make sure that you go ahead and visit. And also, if you'd like to get in touch with me for any of your work as far as writing or doing a book-to-movie adaptation for a script or screenplay or stage play, you can email me at Gwendolyn1160, that's Gwendolyn1160, at att.net. And I'd be glad to talk to you about your projects, and we go from there. Said I'm going to say God bless you, and you have a wonderful evening again. We're about to close out on the show with some music. So I'll talk to you again, Sid, soon, and email me at any time or text me, and let's keep this sisterhood going. So good night, Sid, and good night, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for tuning in.
Good night.
Good night. Wonderful evening tonight. God bless all and take care.